Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Boom. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We back in the house. Episode, is this 130?
130, bro.
130 degrees. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your host.
And yeah, we rocking in the free world. How you been, Josh?
I'm good. Oh, you got your Summit of the Pinnacle shirt on?
Yes. We had a guy's trip to the Poconos. Shout out to all the homies that went, and our homie Raj hooked up
These shirts,
a shirt with all of our names on it, and I am rocking that right now.
Yeah, I just peeped that.
That kind of freaked me out when you said that, because you
forgot
can see
that I'm
me.
Looking at you.
I can't see you. So we just sat here and talked for like an hour and a half. And this whole time, I'm thinking, we're not seeing each other.
Yeah, I feel you. It's almost like a phone conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely. But, what's been going on with you?
Editing, and more editing, bro.
Yeah. Working on that documentary.
Yeah. I'm learning it. Like, I learned a couple new little tricks and things to make it look a little like slicker in different spaces. I mean, granted, this is like the first of like five other edits I'm going to end up making eventually.
Oh yeah, you're doing like a draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like basically what this will be is the template, and it'll be like, "Oh, I'm going to use essentially this template, and then I'll just cut like, oh, I'll cut, you know, 2 seconds here, I'll cut, you know, a millisecond here," type shit, as it goes along, or oh, I'll cut out this and I'll take this audio and put it here, type shit.
Yeah, that's really we talked about this a lot. We had this opportunity to work on this film, and it's something that's, you know, that we've been like kind of making strides towards. I really want to be in like the film and TV game.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. You know? Not want to be. We will be, bro.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we have a documentary that will hopefully be available to be seen by the end of this year.
That's so crazy to me. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, outside opens back up.
Eventually.
And we can like send this thing to some festivals or some shit. I don't want to do a festival over like Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
There's 900 people in the festival. Like, yeah, you know, we're doing like a Q&A on Zoom.
All right, the brother in the top left-hand corner of my screen. You got a question, brother?
Green shirt on, like that, you. That one, yeah. You got a question? Like, nah.
Niggas doing Black Star over Skype?
Yeah, not a good look, dog.
Nah.
Nah, we, when the outside opens back up, hopefully, you know, we can have something for folks to see it on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And, just doing that, dog. Like, that's literally taking up, like, that and making sure my kids don't kill each other. Like,
are they getting, like, cagey with, like, being inside and all that?
Yeah, I think they're all getting a little rammy, yo.
Yeah. That shit's hard. I'm a full adult. And I feel like I want to, like, kick through a wall.
Yeah, like, I try to talk to them about, like, just the ability that you do have to go in your, you know, respective rooms and shit like that. Like, there's people who ain't got that. You know what I mean? But, you know, they don't want to hear that shit. They fucking young. Like, you know what I mean?
Hell no. And I don't blame them.
No, exactly. And they don't, like, you know, it's hard to, like, get them to understand. Like, dog, I've tried to tell them, like, yo, you know, like, me and grandma used to go, like, get furniture from next to the dumpster if it was thrown out and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, they'll never understand that because they've never had furniture that was, like, not brand new.
on some like struggle shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yo, you know, grandmom used to tell me like, yo, it's night out. I saw a table next to the dumpster that I think still in good shape. Let's go get it. And like, yeah. I got to go out there and like in the same apartments that all my friends live in and go take something from the fucking dumpster and shit.
Right. And you know, when you young like that, young people are like the most easily embarrassed.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like if we were walking, like we have a back deck, and I want us to have like a waterproof, like couch like thing, like an outdoor couch,
like a porch couch and shit that could like get rained on if it needed to. Yeah,
100%. So like in the summertime, I can like drink beers and lay out on the deck under the sun. Like that's like my dream for this apartment. I promise you, if Liz and I were walking home and I saw that fucking thing like sitting out on the street, something that, you know, that would fit.
Yeah.
I would drag that shit up into my house. Uh-huh. No hesitation. But when you're like a kid, stuff like that is like, oh, it's like embarrassing. I used to get embarrassed when my mom would like go out and like pick up stuff out the trash.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know what I mean? On trash day. Like, oh, they left a table or they left such and such. I would feel like embarrassed when I was a kid over that shit. Man, listen. I'll give a fifth of a fuck. But that's, you know, you grow up and you're like, you're older. There's like, it should be less things that make you feel embarrassed or like insecure.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for my kids who, like, they never experienced that. Like, you know, you always want to give your kids like slightly better than what you had as a child or whatever. Right. So, like, my kids have been relatively you know, lucky in a sense that they when I was really, really struggling, when like right before my before India was born and like V was only like 3. So like they don't really remember any of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they were like young enough that you could get off of like, you know, it's a shitty, shitty Christmas, but they don't really know because they just got a bunch of toys to play with and they don't care that they're from like Family General or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or Dollar General or whatever. They're like, yo, they don't care. They just got a bunch of new toys. But like now, if you told them like, yeah, you know what? You're not getting these games, blah, blah, blah. They'd have a fucking freak out.
It's like the end of the world.
Yeah. So like they're just like, they have not been accustomed to the ideas of like, oh, it's a struggle right now.
Right. I feel for people in this whole quarantine thing, people who got like multiple kids and they can't go to work. You know what I'm saying? Like you in the crib, not on some like, oh, you know, you're in the crib and your kids are wilding out. Just like the economics of it. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine if I worked, you know, like some of the jobs that I worked before and I had a kid and this shit happened. You know what I mean? I would feel like, damn, like the fucking walls is closing in on me. Like, how am I, you know, people are filing for unemployment.
Yeah.
But people are also, you know, saying that the system is like clogged up.
Yeah, it's crashing on people when they're trying to sign up. And like there was a bunch of people in Florida that were like in a line to file paper applications. Jeez. For it.
Yeah. Yeah, because then if you can't do it online.
Yeah, they suggest like going to the spot and filling it out. And the crazy thing is a lot of those places are closed. A lot of these government things are like shut down.
Right, right. Our system wasn't equipped for this shit.
No.
Not in the least.
No, we run, well, shit, we run an economy based on, like, mystery science. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we back ourselves up with, like, you know, credit. And, like, we want to know why, like, our economy crashes after 2 weeks of no one being able to, like, go to a restaurant.
That's the part that, and I was thinking about this shit this morning. I was making breakfast and just kind of like thinking to myself, this shit shows you just how flimsy normal is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%.
This shit went to piss in like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? And I, you know, I hope, one of my hopes coming out of this is that people remember that when we start talking. Because, you know, it's difficult to suss shit out while you're in the mix, you know what I mean, and things are happening. But I hope that we reflect on this shit, and when we start thinking about how can we make the world better, what is our capacity to create change and, like, you know, change that means some shit, you know, not just, like, cosmetic change. My hope is that we remember, like, yo, our society was grinded to a halt in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times I feel like we believe that it's not possible to change things. You know, it's like the shit's too big and we can't really make a difference, or, you know, things have to be the way that they are. I'm talking about capitalism primarily, and like white supremacy, and like these systems that hold people back. You know, I hope people, we can all look back and be like, oh, you know, none of this shit is permanent and none of this shit is infallible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're dealing with a system that is, that is set up on such a like straw, you know what I mean? Like, it's not supported by anything strong. Like, it's such a, like, you know, fucking, it's such a game of mystery, like a game of fucking a shell game, essentially,
right?
And where they're moving things around, and it's over here, it's over there, blah blah blah, and like, hopefully people will come out of this going like, oh, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, they don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about.
Right.
Like, with they, this great mystery of how things are so, oh, these people are so much more powerful and so much, and can do so much more stuff than us. Like, it's beyond our reasoning. Like, right. No, it's really not. They don't know what the fuck they're doing either.
Right. And they need us, like workers.
Yeah. Oh, if anything, that's what this needs to have, like, given away.
Right, right.
Like, if, you know, people not shopping for 2 weeks crashed your, you know what I mean, crashed your budget as a company, and now you're, you know, now you can't pay rent. Mm-hmm. Like, but the people who work for you are expected to pay rent. You know what I mean? Right. Like, no, that should show you, as more than anything, what your power is as a consumer.
That's, I think that that's one of the reasons why they're trying to open this shit back up real quick, because I don't think that the political class and the capitalist class wants workers to realize that they can grind the economy to a halt just by staying home. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the great, how do I want to say, reforms that have happened in our society, just speaking about America, we're not even talking about in the quote unquote third world or like all over Europe and all these other places. The great reforms that have happened in American society have come from workers going on strike and from human beings directly confronting the system. I feel like motherfuckers, they're trying to like open this shit back up and get everybody back, you know, to work and get everything back to normal so that people won't realize just how essential and powerful we are.
Yeah, 100%. Because the faster it gets to back to normal, the faster people will forget, like, oh, yo, like, Cheesecake Factory was legit gonna, like, crumble because it didn't take customers for 2 weeks.
Shout out to the Cheesecake Factory needing a fucking bailout.
Yeah, like, are you serious? Like, how did you, or like a cruise line where it's like,
yeah,
yo, y'all charge people exorbitant amounts of money to do these things that does not cost y'all very much.
Dog, I heard that they built a bailout. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that they built a bailout into the stimulus package. They threw like a bailout into the private jet industry.
I would not be surprised.
I understand that y'all motherfuckers are like out of touch and everything, but like how out of touch can you be?
Yeah, there's a commercial floating around where it's like the CEO of Walmart's like, I just want to send a deep heartfelt thank you to all our employees who are working and you guys, how mandatory, you guys are heroes, blah, blah, blah. It's like, they give them a fucking pay raise. Like, don't tell them they're heroes.
Right. You wouldn't pay Superman $7 an hour.
Yeah.
Since I'm like, such a fucking hero.
Like, come on, man. Are you kidding yourself? Like, yeah, you know, you guys are heroes and we just want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of you guys as we continue to rake in billions of dollars and also get tax cuts because we don't pay you enough. So you have to get on welfare so that we get a discount in taxes because we hire people that are on welfare. Like, what? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, people don't want no fucking thank you.
No, they want to be able to fucking make money. Like,
yeah. Or at the very least, you won't have them out here. In service of Walmart, get them some fucking gloves and masks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want my Walmart and, you know, the people helping me at Walmart walking around like taking even more chances of getting sick. Like, come on, man.
Right.
When they're providing essential service. Yeah, that was the big thing. Like, that's what's going to come out of this a lot is like, yeah, man, a lot of those people who people go like, man, they don't deserve $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They were having to go to work every day when you get to sit in your house and work.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Get your 6 weeks paid vacation and take it off.
Right. Right.
Like, those folks had to go to work every day. Fucking people at Dunkin' Donuts is there every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's jump out and take a break.
Yep.
Real quick. And then come back and talk about Premier versus the RZA. Historic night
bong, bong.
in hip hop history. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we gonna bong, then we gonna bong, we gonna come right back. Boom. Back in effect. So last night we've been getting treated, yo. I know some of y'all, like, miserable fucking DJ niggas have been complaining. Oh, when I was live streaming, y'all wasn't this hype about it. Oh, they're just playing old songs. You know what I mean? So what? We've been getting treated with this series, Swiss Beatz and Timbaland Set It Off, and they've been linking different producers and songwriters to battle each other live on Instagram. And last night, motherfucking DJ Premier battled the Abbot, RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan, and that shit was the most popping.
Yeah, as soon as RZA figured out how to, like, turn his camera on.
Dog.
You know what niggas, I mean?
Niggas was in there because Primo, you know, he set his shit up first, and yeah. Primo just in there, he like shouting people out, shout out my man Creepy Clown, shout out to Marley Marl. He like shouting niggas out, and niggas is waiting for RZA in the fucking live. Dog, that shit was so fun, yo. Like, they went round for round. They went over 20 rounds.
Yeah, it was like 28 or something like that.
Dog, they play all of these joints, and the cool thing about it too, so many like legends were in the live too.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
It was probably the closest a lot of us who, you know, didn't grow up in New York and didn't grow up in the 80s or like it weren't like adults basically or like in our 20s in the 80s. Like, it's the closest we'll ever get to being at the rooftop. Mm-hmm. When, like, you know what I mean?
Latin quarters or something.
Yeah, when, like, there was you know, every legend that would become a legend in one place at one time.
Yeah. I saw Marley was in there.
Yeah. Q-Tip was in there.
Tip. Charlie Chase was in that joint.
Fat Five Freddy.
Fat Five Freddy. Motherfucker, Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody right. was in that shit, dog. Yo, that shit was, yo, what was the deal with Black Thought in that joint, yo?
Oh, no, dog. Like, he told Premier to go smoke some wet at one point.
Premier was talking before they start playing the music.
Yeah.
And Black Thought was like, it'll chill with the talking, Primo. I'm like, damn, like, why he got a problem with this nigga? Like,
yeah, there must be something there, dog.
Niggas, I don't know who I'm working with. I might edit this out. I'm working with a literary magazine called The Believer.
Uh-huh.
And it's possible that I'll be doing a deep dive interview with Black Thought soon.
Okay, that's what's right. up.
So I don't know, like, I might ask him, like, oh, what's up with you, Primo? When he battled, if it's not me, one of y'all journalist niggas gotta ask him, yo, next time y'all talk to him, like, yo, why was you wilding in Premier's in his IG comments, dog? He really was like coming at Primo. And then as they were going on, Black Thought kept saying, like, yo, that RZA took that round. RZA 6-0, he 10-0.
Yeah, he was like, it's dog. Like 9-1 and two yeah. draws. Like,
I'm like, RZA, I'll say this, because a lot of y'all, you know, motherfuckers who, you know, be on Twitter and shit, I saw a lot of motherfuckers really downgrading RZA as the, you know, in the lead up after they announced that they would be battling.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people like, yo, RZA gonna get trashed, RZA gonna get washed. It's no producer with a catalog that'll wash RZA. I don't give a shit on some hip hop shit. There's no producer who catalog is washing RZA. He may lose.
Yeah.
He may have joints that work in certain eras. Like if you put him against Marley and they had a bunch of like 50-year-olds judge it, or people, you know what I mean, in their early 60s or some shit, they might roll with Marley because it's like stylistic. Yeah. Or if you had RZA against a bunch of people in like their mid-20s, you know, it as the judges, and he's going against, I don't know, like Pharrell or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But like in that arena, nobody's watching the RZA. I saw a lot of people saying that, oh, the RZA, he gonna get trashed and all of this shit, but he really came out banging. He started with Liquid Swords,
which is like
a perfect intro song, you know what I mean? Like he really was giving Primo a lot of work early on.
Definitely. I think like I definitely was going into it going like, I don't know, man, Primo is gonna be hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But like never in the fact that being like, oh, RZA is gonna get washed,
right?
Like RZA made classics too. Like I mean, he can. Like somebody was like, well, he can essentially play only Built for Cuban Links and win. Like, you know what I mean? So
that's the thing too. He only played. He played from like Cuban Links and Iron Man. He ain't play a lot of records from those albums.
Dog, I was waiting for Daytona 500.
Daytona, he could have played. He could have played Glaciers of Ice.
Yeah, didn't play Glaciers of Ice.
Dog, if he'd have played Glaciers of Ice, I would have kicked my window out or some shit. I was hyped, dog. I went and got the Timbs.
Yeah, you know, I had
threw them on.
I had a black hoodie on, my fucking army fatigue jacket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yo, like
I was putting a little coke in my blunt just so, you know what I mean?
Sprinkle a little coke in the blunt. Dog, I was so excited leading up to this shit. Yeah, if he'd have played that Glaciers of Ice, I'd have went off.
Well, it was perfect that it happened. I mean, to cut you off. It was perfect that it happened during the quarantine because I legit was going to go rob somebody after the battle.
Immediately.
Yeah, the wolves would have came out. The wolves would have been out, but you know, nobody else was outside, so I couldn't rob nobody. You know what I mean?
Yo, it was so many joints that RZA could have played. Premier, for the most part, played everything that I thought he would have played.
I was surprised he didn't play like Superstar.
Ooh, right.
Because that was my argument too. It's just like, I mean, you know, Premier could also play fucking Group Home whole first album and be like,
that whole shit, yo.
Even the skits, played. Like, just run let the skits run too. Yo, you know what I mean?
That what's the shit? The Getaway Car mix.
Yeah.
Dog, he could have played that shit, and it would have been crazy. You know what I mean? I felt like he didn't play enough Gangstar.
Yeah, I think he wanted to avoid going to the Gangstar bag too much, but I think he didn't go enough.
Right. Because he could have played. Did he play You Know My Steez?
Nah, didn't play You Know My Steez. Didn't play Full Clip. He didn't play
The Royalty Joint. The joint with Jadakiss, he ain't play that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Play a lot of stuff.
If he would have played You Know My Steez, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what RZA could play to really bang that out.
Nah. And see, that's the thing. Like, there was a couple of joints I did like when he played like when RZA played Verbal Intercourse. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you know, Nas is a legend. You know what I mean? I got to work with him a couple times and he dropped like Nas is like, it's like, oh, that's, that's hard, dog. That's hard. Cause I really love that beat. I love the Nas is like beat.
Nas
so
is like
much.
Is the shit.
The birds like,
yeah.
Dog, that shit is crazy.
That shit, I remember, when Nas is like came out, I remember being like, Nas kind of like that too, because Nas will make some shit, you know, it's like a little whack and you're not fucking with it.
Yeah.
But he'll come back with a joint. Nas is like is one of my, oh shit, Nas is back type
songs.
Yeah,
100%. And then he dropped that album and he was like, yeah, you know, this album's all right.
Yeah, you know? That's why we make our own versions.
Yeah, exactly.
Shits, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Put all the hot shit together.
That album banged for that time. A lot of those beats didn't really age well.
Right.
A lot of that Casio keyboard shit at the time. That's why.
That shit's hard, yo, like, to make something that's contemporary that doesn't age poorly.
Yeah.
I feel like the RZA, like nobody's ever made a piece of music like Glaciers of Ice. Not before or after. You know what I mean? And RZA, if you really peep it, RZA was one of the last producers. Remember how Public Enemy, like the Bomb Squad, they would have a sample from this and this and that and that.
Yeah,
and they would
yeah.
put it all together. RZA really was one of the last people doing that shit. You know what I mean? Putting together different. Dilla did it like subtly. You know what I mean? Dilla used to do it. It's a Keith Murray record that Dilla did. That's he just took the piano from Nautilus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So RZA was really one of the last people who was really ringing off that was really doing that, taking multiple samples. What's the name is like that? He played Cold World. Cold World is like three different primary samples.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he makes kind of dance together. It's like the main sample, then it's the boom, 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 little keyboard shit. Uh-huh. That's a Frank Zappa sample. And then it's like a little guitar that he chopped in there.
Yeah.
So he's somebody who's a really unique thinker as far as like making beats. You know what I mean? So it was ill to see his work get celebrated like that. And I also enjoyed how him and Primo was like bigging each other up.
Yeah, I love that, the love in between the two of them. I also loved RZA's fingerless gloves.
That nigga looked like
that.
One of the gangs for the Warriors.
Yeah.
He had the fingerless gloves. He had no sleeves on. That shit, dog. When because, you know, like we said, like Primo was fiddling around with his live. Yeah. When RZA's camera went up and he's standing there, he got the shades on.
Yeah.
He got the Wu-Tang hat, fingerless gloves, no sleeves, and the big screen behind him playing Afro Samurai.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I expect RZA to look like when he's walking around the crib.
He's in the crib. Dog, I said on Twitter, I was like, yo, RZA broadcasted from the spot where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fought Bruce Lee.
And that fucking like 7-level temple and shit.
Yo, that shit was so perfect. I'm like, yo, RZA's the man, yo. Like,
the only thing that would have made that better is if he had like a karate gi with no sleeves.
Right, right.
And he came through with like the black belt with the three red stripes on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a third degree. I got my third degree. I was just practicing before I came up here.
You know, I was on the fourth. He was on the third. Dog, that shit was so fun. I love that it was good spirited. And I love that for the most part, like I jokingly was like, oh man, fuck y'all DJs who complain about it. I mean, I'm serious about that. But like, you know, it ain't that big a deal. For the most part, I saw a lot of people coming away from this thing, this battle, with like a positive, with like a positive energy behind it.
Oh, 100%. Like most people who I saw, like, you know, because you can see something, like I could see a bunch of people setting hearts and doing, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I could see who was in there, saw people commenting, and like, folks be like, yo, Philly in the house, blah, 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 blah.
Or, right.
You know what I mean? Like, shit like that. And it's just like, it felt like a moment in time. And mm-hmm. a moment that, like, we wouldn't have got, like, if RZA and Pete Rock, I mean, RZA and Primo were, like, battling at some club in New York last night. Like, maybe, what, 5,000 people show up? Something like that.
Right. It like, wouldn't have been.
It wouldn't have been 200,000. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think, you know, as big as this is and as a, like, you know, cornerstone memory, this is be for a lot of people. These little moments inside that cornerstone will be amazing too, because we essentially got to share a shared experience with Fab Five Freddy, with Marley Marr, with like. Right. You know, Black Thought, Questlove, fucking Staley, like, you know, all these people that are just like sitting there watching it with us. Nas was in there. They were saying Jay-Z was in there on his burner account. Like,
Hov was definitely in there, him and Beyonce watching that shit. Beyonce is like, yo, he gonna play You Know My Steez? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? That,
bro, he need to shit. Drop that So Ghetto.
He came out with the A Million and One Questions joint.
That shit, which is like one of my favorite records ever. Yeah,
that shit's so fucking good. It's so good. Premiere. I understand why a lot of people had Premiere winning this thing. His style musically is like brighter, bolder sound. Yeah. You know what I mean? He has like DeWick records like that that people can dance to. Like, I get it why people were like, I just felt like people were selling RZA short.
Yeah, 100%. And like, that's the thing where, like, you know, I wrote right in the comments of like, when he plays the wick, I was like, yo, it sounds like summer outside.
Come on.
You know what I mean? But you can't front when RZA plays Ice Cream, it sounds like fucking summer outside.
Right. Right.
You know what I
think
mean?
Think of that video and the joints with the t-shirts on and shit.
I think some people sold RZA short for how expansive his catalog is, as opposed to, I think so many people focus in on like, you know, Fourth Chamber or, mm-hmm. you know, Ain't Nothing to Fuck With, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then forget, like, yeah, but he also made all this other shit that's not just... Like, when he breaks out the joint he did with Kanye.
Right, right.
Like, dog, that shit don't sound nothing like, you know what I mean, all this other shit that he did. You know, it's not... This shit don't sound like investigative reports. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, yo, RZA, he could have played the Fourth Chamber joint. He had songs that he, you know, had in the tuck that he didn't play. Did he play? He played Criminology though, right?
He played Criminology.
He played Criminology. You know what I mean? He really could have ran a lot more Liquid Swords. You know what I mean?
He didn't do a lot of Supreme Clientele. I thought he could have used some, did some more shit off Supreme Clientele.
He did play Ain't No Love to Be Found.
Yeah.
That joint. He played that shit, which is crazy. He could have played the shit, what is it called? I'm so bad with titles. It's he rapping on it. It's him, Ghost, and Solomon Childs, that the joint off of Clientele. He got like too many records he could have played.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, like you said, I think it was some people sold RZA short. But then, like, you could see in the comments, like, some people who were like super RZA heads who were just like, yo, RZA's up like 18 to 2. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, dog, I'm sorry. That's not how this works. Like, RZA didn't have 18 better songs than Premier, dog.
Yeah, I like, think dude, RZA.
RZA,
I think, came in real strong. And I think toward the end, Primo was just beating him up with joints.
Yeah, he started dropping a lot of those Biggie joints that are like hard to, like, he drops Unbelievable. It's hard to be like, well, what do I got that's competing with Unbelievable?
He went from Unbelievable to Come Clean. I love Question Remains, but I don't feel like that's like a crazy hard, you know, battle record.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
He could have threw Mass Appeal in there or something, you know what I mean? But he went from Unbelievable to Come Clean to Kicking the Door and Above the Clouds? Crazy.
Yeah, that's a three-track run where it's like, damn, like, but, you know, dog, he tried. I forgot that RZA did Long Kiss Goodnight.
Right. But if you listen to it, it totally sounds like it.
As soon as you listen to it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's RZA. But I completely forgot that he did it.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, they did play a couple of joints where I was like, oh, not Premier as much because Premier's sound is so kind of distinctive. Like, yeah.
Everything Premier played, like, you know.
Exactly, yeah. I know it's Premier. When he played Long Kiss Goodnight, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about Long Kiss Goodnight. He played something else, and I was like, yo, I forgot RZA did that joint. Like,
yeah.
What joint was it? You know what I forgot about? I forgot about You're All I Need. Like, completely just forgot. Like, not that RZA did it, but just was like, oh, shit, like. Mm-hmm. RZA does have records that you're like, oh, these were commercial hits, like on poppy radio.
Yeah, yeah. That shit, Bring the Pain was rocking all over radio, all in people's cars. Even like stuff from the first Wu album, Shame on a Nigga, like Protect Your Neck. That shit really played everywhere.
100%.
Everywhere. You couldn't go outside and not hear those records.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to need folks to know that Annie Up wasn't produced by DJ Premier.
Yo. Like, I get why people think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, y'all got to give my man, this is DR Period that did it, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's DR Period.
Y'all got to give DR Period his props, yo. Stop
give
acting
my man
like
his flowers before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yo, stop acting like he produced that record. Dog, I want to see.
The comments were just like, play Annie Up, play Annie Up.
People was like begging Premier, like, you got to play Annie Up, man. Like, he did not produce that song.
Be like, yo, man, just play Troy Premier. Like, come on, dog. Right. What?
Like, yo, if you play Big Daddy Kane wrong, like, battle over. Like, nah, y'all got to chill out. Especially being like everybody, you know, make mistakes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, 100%.
Being like, y'all being like hip hop heads. Like, come on, yo.
Yeah, especially when you have the, you know, all of the wealth of knowledge in your hand while you're doing it. Dog. Like, before you throw it out there, be like, yo, let me just double check that he did that. Because he ain't played it yet. I'm surprised he ain't played it.
Dog, you know how much shit I double check on the course of a day?
All the time, dog. I'll start to write a status on, like, Twitter or Facebook and be like, yo, let me make sure I'm saying this right or doing it, sure. Like,
I'm writing exact.
Yeah, because I don't want to be spreading, you know what I mean, bullshit. I want to send technology out here. So I'm like, yo, let me check. Oh, okay, yeah, I was right. Like, you know what I mean?
This one brother on Twitter, this was a few months ago. He seemed like a cool boy. I don't know the boy, but he seemed like a cool boy. But he was talking about Ali Shaheed Muhammad. And I said something about Ali, and he was like, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, he ain't make no beats, whatever. And I was like, all right, dog. Like, you know, Q-Tip, everybody know Q-Tip made the beats.
Yeah.
But I was like, you're not going to sit here and say Ali Shaheed Muhammad didn't make any beats, because I know that to not be true. He's like, you can't find me one credit that Ali Shaheed Muhammad got in throughout the whole 90s, one production credit. And, you know, I like proven theories, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you talking real heavy, now I got to, like, give you screenshots and prove you wrong. So I dug up a bunch of records that Ali produced, because he wasn't out there like Pete was.
Uh-huh.
He was the DJ of a group.
Yeah.
So he was doing shit on the low. So I gave this nigga a whole list of shit that Ali produced. He had to fall back. You know what I mean? You got to, like, fact check yourself. If you're going to be out here with it, you got to fact check yourself.
I remember I did that for somebody. I forget when we were, like, whatever. It was trivial shit we was arguing about. But, like, he was like, well, how could you know? You ain't got a proof. So, like, I pulled up, like, oh, look, like, these, I Googled, like, the results of what we were talking about. I was like, well, here's, like, a link for here, 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 here. Like, there's, like, five links just right here about this topic. And the boy was like, I mean, anybody can Google.
Like, I can look on the internet.
I'm like, yeah, but see, the point is, like, there's these five links that you can go to.
Right.
He was just like, I mean, anybody can Google. Like, how do I know that's true? I'm like, well, how do you know what you're saying is true, dog?
Right. Like, what do you want me to know? Like, what do you want me to say, B? Like, if you're not going to look at the proof.
Yeah, like.
I've seen people do that shit, though. Like, I'm not clicking on that.
Yeah.
What do you want then? What's the end game?
Yeah, I'm not going to have my theories challenged.
Right. You know, we've said this before, but you remember my man, it was like, not all facts is in a book.
Yeah.
Yo.
Not all facts is in a book. Some of them are YouTube clips.
Right. Right. Some of them are in the stars. What the fuck? But yeah, yo, this shit was ill. It really, it kind of reminded me too how much I like D'Angelo, Devil's Pie.
Yeah.
When Primo played this, I was like, man, this shit is funky. It's like evil sounding.
Devil's Pie. Dog, I remember when he played that shit, Nas jumped in like, yo, Belly. I'm like, dog, I don't think you want people remembering you as a Belly.
Yeah, Nas. Nas is like, you know, I gave up on the whole Nas and Primo doing an album together thing.
Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago. Nas and Primo got to do an album together. Yeah. If Primo did a whole album with Royce too.
Yeah, exactly.
Two whole albums with Royce. And Royce is the shit. I'm not dissing Royce.
No, you loved his last album. So
his last album was really good. And Royce is the shit. Nas got to do a record with Premier, yo.
Nah, man, he's got these other dudes that he just, like, he's in love with using as producers. He did a whole album with Kanye, well, I mean, like, an EP with Kanye. He can't.
Yeah, he did.
Like, dog.
Which, the Ye shit was okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple really good songs on there.
Yeah, yo.
The Cotton song, just, like, that joint is insane. Like, yeah, there's a couple really good songs on there.
Yeah, I just didn't think that Adam and Eve shit that they may have stolen from some bull. You know what I mean?
And the artwork that they stole from some bull.
The same bull. Like, the same
kid. Oh, yeah, I think it was. It was the same dude, I think. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I'm Ye and Nas they could have done one. It was like the fact that he has to do like five songs with all these other artists and they five songs. That whole thing was weird to me.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think Ye was really like super focused on Nas. You know what I mean? Like he
nah, he
been.
Was doing so much other shit at the time too.
Right, right. You know he's like publicly melting down,
yeah.
And he's trying to produce records for like you, Teyana Taylor, fucking Pusha T and shit.
Yeah, he's like yelling at like TMZ reporters in their right. offices and visiting Trump. And then flying back to like what is Iowa,
Wyoming,
yeah,
to make records.
To make records,
I would love to see Nas and Primo lock in.
Yeah,
you know
100%.
What I mean.
Or you know
Nas and Large Professor.
Yeah, that's mine. Like I want a Large Professor Nas record.
Yeah,
that's my dream. He did one with Cormega.
You said what?
Like Large Pro and Cormega made a record together.
How about that?
Like, you can't just go sit down with, like, Large Pro and make a whole record?
You know he got a crazy folder of beats.
Yeah.
Dog, I be seeing him, though, Large Professor be on Instagram just, like, playing crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just be, like, Large Professor, all them guys, K-Def. I was on Instagram earlier, and K-Def was just, like, sitting in his crib just chopping up some crazy shit.
Ski be doing that shit, too.
Right. Ski, all them dudes, and like niggas know them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not like Nas. Niggas was arguing.
It's not some dude we know, like, you know what I
right.
mean?
Just it's not like yo, go holler at my man.
Yeah.
Niggas was arguing on Twitter earlier whether or not Meek is aware of the Meek remixes that Knowledge be making.
Yeah.
And somebody made a good point. They was like, yo, Knowledge produced shit on To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time he drops a remix of Meek shit, it go viral.
Yeah.
So Meek definitely knows who this dude is. And they both Philly Bulls.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowledge, I think, is from Jersey, but he lived in Philly for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, it's not like Meek has like a low profile on social media. Like he was just right. arguing with like Nicki on social media. I'm sure right. he's like aware of what goes on.
He's aware. And like I feel like it's the same thing with Nas with like the producer thing. And even if you're not aware, get you like a young bull who could be like, yo, you need to do a whole album with Alchemist or something. But yeah. Nas fucking knows Alchemist.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that nigga Alchemist been in the game since like 90 when yeah. he was in the Hooligans. Like he knows, Nas knows these people. You know, I don't know what the process is behind the whole like beat selection thing or whatever.
Yeah, nah. I mean, and you know, it is what it is at this point. Like if we don't know that Nas does what he does, like, you know.
Yeah.
Just gonna come to grips, but yeah, I think we should take another break and then come back. We got some new music to recommend and a documentary we really think you guys should check out.
Word, we'll be right back. Boom, right back at you. So, you recommended a documentary. For
yes.
me to watch.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Just. He put me onto it.
Yeah, yo. LA Originals.
Yep.
About the tattoo artist Mr. Cartoon and the photographer Steve O.
Yes. Yeah,
two LA dudes.
Oreo.
Mexican dudes. Who've really on the low for decades been like really impacting the culture.
Yeah, 100%. Like I knew about Cartoon as a tattoo artist because, you know, anybody who's seen pictures of me know I'm covered in tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I don't have a regular job, you know, I could go get my face tattooed.
Get your whole skull tattooed.
Yeah. Dude, I would do it if I didn't know it would probably hurt so bad.
That shit's going to feel terrible.
But I would get my head tattooed. But so I'm aware of Mr. Cartoon. I've been aware of Mr. Cartoon for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about like his connections to like, oh, he's tattooed like all these famous like hip hop dudes. Yeah. Like I knew about the the Exhibit XZ, and I knew about a bunch of like M's joints and the Cypress 50 Hill. Cent. Yeah, 50 Cent. So I knew about a lot of those, but I didn't really know his like whole backstory of him like being a graffiti artist and like kind of just like backward walking his way into like working with different artists and shit. Like ended up going on tour with like Cypress Hill and you know what I mean, all these different dudes. And Esteban like basically doing the same thing, kind of like just meeting a bunch of people. And then, like, you know, people were just like, yo, you're the road manager for the Soul Assassins now.
Right, right. Yeah, if you're into L.A. culture or, like, L.A. hip-hop, Soul Assassins, all of that stuff, this is, like, this documentary is, like, perfect for you.
100%.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's ill. I'm really into culture in general and culture being documented. I love the fact that these dudes, you could tell that they authentically come out of their culture. You know what I mean? They were doing like the tattoo shit. And then homeboy did like a photography. It's like this beautiful photography book of like Mexican American like women. You know what I mean? Like the Chola culture and all of that. And then they were like painting the cars and shit. It's something, it's like a culture I don't really know that much about, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I know they fuck with like old school R&B, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a thing. But like it was ill to see that everything that they were creating was tied back to, you know, probably shit that they were introduced to when they was like little kids. And you can feel the love of their culture coming out through this whole film. It made me feel like I was like in LA with them while they were doing this shit.
Yeah, it's super engrossing. And like they had like a like the SA studio, the Soul Assassin studio, where like Cartoon was tattooing. And I was about to say tattooing was cartooning. Cartoon was tattooing, and like Esteban was like had like a bunch of like lowriders in there and like brick wall, so like he could do photo shoots in the studio. And like it was in like Skid Row in LA. Mm-hmm. And like before, like I don't know like LA setup, like, so you know, I've never even been to LA yet. But before they even got to it, I automatically knew like, oh, there's gonna be a part of this that talks about gentrification and how Skid Row isn't Skid Row anymore.
Right.
And they like bought out all these places. I already knew that was gonna come.
Yeah.
And it's that's not like
all over.
100%. Yeah. So like I wasn't like, that's not a shot at the documentary. That's more just like, oh, I already know that's happened. I know what's gonna come from this.
Mm-hmm.
But like they talk about like their homie was like a dope fiend, and they had to like wake him up because like they were having a business meeting for like millions of dollars and shit, and they got like a dope fiend like passed out in front of their spot. Like,
right.
But like they were so entrenched that like, yo, they, you know, they like they knew these like the homeless dudes that was outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they like helped them get to pay them to help move stuff, or like they knew all these dudes. And they weren't like, they were still like so in, they're still like so in touch with like the culture, where they're just not like, you know, they're not just completely sold out in any type of way.
Yeah, I would definitely say if you're into like tattooing, photography, you know, West Coast culture, hip hop, any of that, you know what I mean? It's just like this documentary is really done, really well done. It's really dope. You know what I mean? A lot of like super dope, famous motherfuckers are in it. You know what I mean? Like you said, Exhibit, Snoop, Dr. Dre, Eminem. They got a lot of dope like archival and like behind the scenes footage. You know, if you want to see Bizarre from D12, get a tattoo.
Yeah, get a tattoo on his
with
stomach.
His shirt out. I mean, with his shirt off, his belly out and shit. Yeah, I would highly recommend this joint.
Yeah, it's so beautifully shot. Yeah. And, you know, working on a documentary myself, I'm watching it going like, oh, like look at that transition they use, or right. Oh wow, look how they made like that photo Because there's several times where they use a photo instead of like actual video footage. And I'm like, wow, they did a really good job like making movement in a photo. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
shit like that where I'm just like, oh, that looks great. It's beautifully done. It's part of a culture that I really respect. Like you said, don't know a ton about. But like, you know, a culture that's like huge in other countries, like they were talking about, like in Japan, there's a whole like cholo culture, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
That like, you know, I mean, when we were kids, at like very formative age of like the early 90s, mm-hmm. West Coast hip hop ruled the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like these dudes were a huge part of it that a lot of us didn't even realize.
Yeah. Completely behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely LA Originals.
Yeah, on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Fuck, y'all ain't it. Doing shit else. Like, listen to the pod, listen to us, and then go watch that.
Yeah, y'all in the crib with it, you know what I mean? Just listen to us and watch this shit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, check that out. LA Originals. Really good. Really good.
As far as new music, I've been fucking with this guy. He's a producer, an MC. His name is Navy Blue.
Okay.
And his album is called Ada Irin.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm like mispronouncing that shit, but it's really fucking dope.
Word.
Really like chill, you know, overall vibe. Lyrics are like introspective, you know what I mean? He's not like giving you a lot of like up tempo like hype joints or whatever. The whole vibe and atmosphere is like super real melodic. Chill, yeah, melodic shit, some like jazzy samples and shit. Some of it kind of puts me in the mind of the boy YL that I be fucking with real heavy.
Okay, where
you know what I'm saying, like that same kind of, just like some shit, if you smoked, you know what I mean, you could like throw this shit on and like smoke vibe. And vibe out to it. Uh-huh. And a lot of it, you could tell it's like real like personal lyrics and shit that he's like really dropping. So yeah, Navy Blue, that shit, his album came out, I think like a month ago.
Okay.
Maybe a month or two ago it came out, but it's really fucking dope.
Where here's a little inside baseball for everybody, all the listeners out there. So me and John, we've always made a document for us to like follow, like basically a script, just an outline of like, you know, what we're going to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll put some, you know, one of us will create it and then we add stuff as the week goes on. But you added the listing for new music. You added Navy Blue at IRN. And I thought the name of the album was Navy Blue.
Oh,
and because right. I listed my music under that same passage of like, oh, well, then it's the name of the album first and our artist name.
I see it. Yeah.
So that's why I just, when you said that, I was like, oh, the artist's name, Navy Blue.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little inside baseball. I didn't know that was going on. And obviously I didn't listen to that project yet, but I will check it out. Mm-hmm. I was listening to this record again. This record is a few weeks old too. I think it's like 3 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new record called Insomnia by, get ready, cause it's grime time. My man Skepta, the legend. I mean, Skepta's legendary.
Absolutely.
Chip and Young Ads. Mm-hmm. It's like a group. It's like a collective project. It's really, really good. It's like 13 tracks. 9 of them are really good.
Oh shit! That ain't a bad bat
ratio. No, not at all. And you know, there's gonna be certain joints I'm just like, oh, well, it's not really my flavor. You know what I mean? Because it's grime and it's not like, you know, home base type music. Mm-hmm. But you know, folks, y'all know, like y'all listen long enough, y'all know the vibes. You know, I'm the Grime Time reporter. You know what I mean?
Come on.
But yeah, I saw the record. It came up like, you know, obviously the algorithm knows my taste for grime. So it like popped up in in like my like listings for new records. I was like, oh shit, let me check this out. And I meant to check it out a couple weeks ago and I forgot. And then I was like, oh, I gotta get some new music. And I looked at like what the new music was that dropped this weekend. I was like, oh wow, I don't want to listen to any of these dudes. It's a lot of guys with like young 22 so and so, and I was just like, oh, I'm not listening to that dude. So I was like, you know, I was like, that Skepta record dropped. I want to check that out. So I did. It's really, really good. Like I said, there's probably about like 8 or 9 records out of like 13 that are like really good. But you know, listen, if you're, I think there's some really like, it dabbles more in the lane of like what would be road rap. Out there, you know what I mean? So it's a little more like hardcore than it is like what, like grime is kind of hardcore, but it's a little more harder than that. It's more closer to like trapping music here. So it's more in that lane. But like it's really good, man. Like Skepta's a legend, dog, and like he kills everything on this joint. Even the records I don't love, he kills his verses. And the dude Chips is cool. Chip is cool, and Young Ads is cool. Word. So I definitely say check it out, man. Like I know a lot of people are not like biggest grime dudes in the world, but like, you know, maybe my man Bo Blizz will check it out. So
shout out Bo Blizz. Yeah, hell yeah.
No, maybe he'll check it. Maybe it'll be me and him be the only ones listening to it on
only
the
only ones in Philly
across the pond. But you know, whatever.
And fucking Dev moved. I was gonna say Dev 79. He moved.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was rocking with that shit heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I know my man Davo. He gonna hold us down overseas. Like he probably listening to it. He probably had it early or something.
Oh, real shit. This week, me and Liz been talking about moving to Europe. Might have to. I got a couple things to do.
You know, but and then, you know, relocating to Berlin.
Listen, we might be out of this motherfucker.
Dog, I was just telling somebody earlier, like, yo, I'm thinking about, like, maybe Melbourne in the future, dog.
Oh, shit, yeah. You know that shit's like, beautiful over there.
Yeah, on top of the fact that, like, it's 14 hours difference, like, people couldn't bother me, dog. Because, like, I you know what I mean?
At all.
Yeah, like, I'm asleep when they awake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be a beautiful thing to not get constant phone calls like, yo, man, I kind of need you to do something for me. Like, nah, dog, I'm in Tuesday already. Like, I can't help you. Like, you know what I mean?
Can't help me, bro. You got a Monday favor. Tuesday, bro. I can't help you.
Like, yo, I'm sorry, dog. Like, I'm just saying, like, make sure you wear, like, bring an umbrella. You know what I mean? It's probably going to rain. Like, I'm just living in the future for you, baby. Like,
yeah, yo.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good. I want to get to the point where I'm so far away that people can't call me for favors, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, man. You're over there.
Yeah, man, like, what time is it?
Like, the only, we can wrap up, but.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm, like, hesitating on that shit is because I know my mom would not be pleased.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? My mom don't like the fact that I'm in South Philly and she in Uptown. You know what I mean? So I know if I was like, yo, we going to move to Barcelona or some shit, she would not be happy.
Yeah. I'm moving to a country that has universal health care in the next like 10 years.
Come on.
Like, at least, you know, we gonna be popping by then. So like I'm gonna have a residence somewhere in a country where I can like, yo, I got my Medicare for all card. If I need something, I can fly home and get it.
Right. Yeah. You know, so that's all right. We're gonna make a pact. We're gonna get popping and then dip.
Yep. Grab some cribs in like Barcelona. So just, you know, small flat Barcelona. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Definitely. But other than that, you can catch us on all the platforms at Serious Rap Shit. I am Indy_SRS.
And I'm John. I'm sorry, I was going to jump in on you, my bad.
No, I was on Instagram and Twitter. And you are?
At John_Liberator, Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. And we have the hoodies and t-shirts still up at Incense Trap and Yoga.
Word. Shout out to Rhythm too, yo. Her dog died.
Yeah. I reached out. I knew something was up. I hadn't heard from her in a couple, like, and I knew she wasn't posting as much.
Yeah.
I noticed, and I was like, oh, I should reach out to Rhythm, make sure she's good. And like right when I was thinking that, like an hour later, and I checked the IG and saw that and was like, damn. So I reached out to her. But yeah, that's hard, man. Like losing a pet is really, really hard.
She loved that dog too.
Yeah, she loved that dog. You know what I mean? So, man. You know, shout out to
you, Rhythm. We hope you feel
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. You know, that's a business run by a black woman. So if you want to help a business run by a black woman in these wild times,
yeah, support that shit.
Absolutely. Also, rate and review us if you're if you're listening to this right now on Apple Podcast, you can rate and review it right in app, and it helps out a lot. We really need it. Five stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, tell a friend to tell a friend, like and subscribe, all that other fly shit. All that shit helps out. So you know, we love y'all, and y'all stay sane, wash y'all hands, and you know, stay the fuck away from people. Stop, you know, hanging out in the park and playing catch and shit.
Stop having fucking kickbacks and roof deck functions and all that other goofy shit.
Yeah. And listen, I know you love your family, but you know what? Like, your niece is turning 6. You can have the celebration in a month. Like,
y'all niggas wasn't visiting your family before the quarantine.
Dog, motherfuckers is visiting their family so much more during this.
Yo, I gotta go hang out with my mom. I gotta see her. She ain't got many years left. Nigga, you wasn't hanging out with your mom beforehand. Get the fuck out of here. Dog, flatten the curve, nigga.
I would like to have a summer. Please stop going outside, y'all.
Dog, you're not upset. Podcast is over. Just turn it off.
Yeah.
You're not upset I would be, dog, after I missed the whole summer 2018.
2 years ago?
You know what I'm saying? And then I had a poppin' summer 2019, but my shit was still, you know, my legs were still feeling wobbly and shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on, man. You're not upset I would be. I still had pain in my back in 2019. None of my shit, you know, is relatively cool now.
We have big plans
summer
for this
2020.
Year.
Come on.
You got big plans for this year. Stop fucking it up.
Yeah, we trying to do shit for y'all.
Yeah, we trying to pop.
Come on.
You know y'all be happy for us. Even if y'all mad, y'all be happy.
That shit we was talking about earlier. Yo, like, man, that's my brother right there. Yeah, nigga. Fuck with me, nigga. But yeah, we'll be back next
week. We'll be back next week for y'all, man. Y'all stay good. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rapture is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.